Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Can you roleplay as Michael Vick in Slime Rancher? Is the Stardew Valley port really that good? All that and more on this week's episode of Real Dudes Podcast. Welcome to Real Dudes Podcast. It's me. I've been gone, and I feel lonely, so I came back. I am Kyle, and with me, I've got Andrew.
Hello.
Got Cody.
What's up?
And Mr. Carrington.
Hey, hey, hey.
Guys, how has the podcast been going?
It's a sinking ship
dude,
without
seriously,
you.
Like, I was this close to leaving, and then Carrington texted me that you were coming back, so I'm like, well, I guess I can ride this out a little longer.
So good to hear.
There's been a lack of gingers in this podcast without you.
Yeah.
It seems kind of racist, that, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a little bit, but you know, I'll take that with a grain of salt. Been listening to episodes. I've been able to get in for like some smaller episodes with Carrington, so that's been kind of nice to do, but
it's not the same.
I know, but you guys have been doing such a stellar job. Kudos to the editing, and you know, kudos to keeping the show alive.
Trying to
do what we can.
That last episode was a pain. Not gonna lie,
my phone.
editing wise, it was the most fun. Recording wise,
yeah, it was really nice hearing Jeremiah on the show.
Hopefully he'll come back soon, and I think he said he's got a project coming out soon. So keep your eyes out and open.
Awesome. So this week we have got a variety show, I guess you could say. We'll talk a little bit about Slime Rancher, and then the Stardew Valley port on the Nintendo Switch, and then some additional indie news, some new games that you may or you may have not heard of, and then the Star Wars Battlefront beta was out recently, so talk about our impressions with that. To kick things off, Slime Rancher.
Oh, God.
And I think we have our expert sitting in here, Cody.
Oh, God. This game has been... It's weird. It's an addiction. You get in, and it doesn't seem like it, but once you get started, you're hooked, and then you find yourself trying to get away, only to be drawn back in. And I don't know. Any of you guys played it?
Question.
What's up?
No, I own it, but I have not yet played it. But after playing Slime Rancher, does that make you like a slime cowboy now?
No, I'm only still a rancher.
You don't ride
the slimes.
It was in the forefront of my mind. Okay,
that would get awkward and not child friendly. So,
is your ranch in the Hidden Valleys?
No.
But
we need sound
effects. So, Cody, tell us about the game.
Or maybe, well, this is maybe not a cowboy, but rather a slime boy.
Possibly.
Oh. It sounds dirty. No.
That's actually true.
It does sound a little nerdy. But no, I am still a slime rancher. Actually, you would not be a slime boy at all because you play, the character is a female. So, you'd be a slime girl if you were. But.
Ooh.
That sounds even worse. So, no, you are only a slime rancher.
So, what do you do exactly? I've seen some videos, but not enough.
You ranch slimes. you farm a type of animal, I guess, that are called slimes, and you feed them, collect their poop, and sell their poop for money. To expand your farm, only to collect more slimes to feed and to collect more poop to sell. It's a very large circle. of slimes and poop and money and poop and money and lots of poop. But it gets addicting and quite fun. And after a while, it gets addicting and rather harmful to your social life. But
What did you find addicting about it? Like, what stood out to you that made you want to come back and play more?
I've always liked the farm games where you go and you have an objective, like, to do. Like, some, they're kind of, like, rely on you to feed them. And that it's like, you help me, I help you type circle. And for some reason, that keeps drawing me back in. Like, before the episode, I spent about an hour just feeding slimes and collecting their plorts and refeeding slimes. And you can honestly keep doing that and you'll never get out of your farm when there's a ginormous, beautiful world to explore. It's great. It's exploration and farming, and the graphics are great, except today it was a little laggy, which was weird. I don't know if that was on my end or on their end. Who knows? But it was cool. I enjoyed it.
Sweet.
What did you guys in that watched any bit of it? What did you think about it or anything? What did you guys think?
I got the impression that it kind of reminded me of Minecraft in a way. Just a lot of resource management between getting your slime set up and. Do you breed them?
No. You can morph them together. If you have a slime and you feed him poop of another slime, he will eat such poop and morph into a combination of the two slimes.
Okay.
That's as much as the breeding that would go into.
For some reason it reminded me of Minecraft. I didn't see if there was any kind of story. Is there a story involved with it at all?
There's like a lore story. There's little segments left behind about a farmer who had the farm previously, went around exploring, met a woman, fell in love, and then ended up giving up the farm for the woman. Okay. And then your character inherits the farm. And then through a series of letters, there's a dude, and I haven't really read all the lore, but from what I'm getting is she's falling for the dude, and the dude likes her, and she might be the next one to give up the farm for love or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, it's a little bit more in-depth than what I had seen on YouTube. Carrington or Andrew, did you guys get to check it out any?
Andrew, how about you go?
I checked it out. Actually didn't know that this episode was happening until like a few hours ago, and it's harvest season. So, you know, my research thankfully just happened to fall into place in this case because I had no time to actually prep. But no, I actually watched Markiplier's Let's Play series of this, and I found it really charming, honestly. I guess. Without giving too many of my thoughts about the next game we're going to discuss, I think they're a bit derivative, kind of like Kyle was alluding to. You know, obviously you got the Minecraft side for that, and then I think both of these titles that we're going to discuss borrow on varying levels from Harvest Moon, especially the next one we're going to talk about. I mean, that's pretty much a reskin in a lot of ways, but no, I mean, overall, just like taking it at face value, I think it's cute. I mean, it's, you know, it's charming, and the variety of the slimes, you know, that you can collect is pretty wide, and their abilities are, you know, pretty interesting, I guess, some of them especially, because you start out thinking that they're all very simple, and I know from what I saw that it gets more and more complex as you go. There's a few unique characters I remember running across through watching all the videos that... You know, like I think there's just one slime where you have to feed him other slimes in order to get into a secret area. Mm-hmm. Like I said, overall, I like it. Like I said, definitely Once again, I guess everything is derivative of something at this point. So you kind of have to overlook that to a certain degree. I mean, there is a line, but no, yeah, pretty cool game.
You know, I will admit, because this was free on Xbox Live a couple months ago. I think it was back in August or something like that. So I downloaded it just because it was free. And I'm like, I'm never going to play this because this is just looks weird. But with you guys talking about it, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should actually start it up and actually try it out, because the look of it, it's very colorful and bright. It reminds you of a Nintendo game, actually, with the way the colors pop out and things like that. But other than that, like, I've watched some videos on it and things like that. It does look interesting and a bit more to it than what meets the eye, as Andrew was saying.
Well, so that leaves me with like two questions before we ask what your rating of it is, Cody, like what you think about what you should rate it. One, what kind of gaming crowd do you think this would appeal to?
Oh boy. I don't know.
People who like Minecraft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People who like Harvest Moon.
Yeah.
I guess the best. Sorry, Cody. Go ahead.
No. Go for it. I interrupted you.
I guess my only thought on that would just be, you kind of said it yourself, Kyle, people who enjoy a resource and time management type games.
Right.
In a nutshell.
Yeah. I've seen all the YouTubers play them, and there's some like who play the normal type indie games, but they've never like done a game like this before on their channel, which always like surprised me, but they've always enjoyed it. But I, from like talking to other people, I don't know like any real life person that I've met who actually plays this game. So I don't know what type of crowd it honestly attracts, because normally I don't think, like when I downloaded it, like Carrington, I downloaded because it was free, thought I'd never play it, then saw Mr. Fruit play it on his channel, and then I thought, heck, I'll give it a shot, I have it, so it intrigued me, and then I got kind of hooked, so.
Awesome.
And I will say too, Mr. Fruit, his videos are amazing, so thank you, Cody, for introducing me to him, and I have to agree that when he plays certain games, whether it be like Overwatch or Destiny, especially something like Slime Rancher, it's always entertaining and it makes me want to play the games that he's playing.
Yeah.
So I think it's really like something like Slime Rancher is kind of different for him. So, but at the same time, it's a different game. So as you were saying, it's just like it, I don't know what audience it's trying to attract, but at the same time, it's unique. So you have to give it props for that.
So, the second question that I had is, could you potentially role play as Michael Vick and create your own Slime Ranch fighting arena?
Ooh.
And have your Slime Ranches fight each other?
Too soon. Too soon. Seriously, dude. The NFL is in crisis right now, and you got to bring this in? Seriously, dude. Are you just trying to bring the system down from the inside?
I thought it was appropriate. I mean, is there any kind of combat in the game? Can you make them, like, do the slimes have personality? Can you make them fight, or can you make them happy or sad, or are they like Tamagotchis?
You can make them happy. You can make them angry. Make them super hungry by not feeding them for 2 months.
So Michael Vick's.
Oh,
yeah.
Snap.
But yeah, if you put two of them in the same ring or pin, if you would say, they're not going to fight each other. They're going to inhabit the same pin until I don't feed them, and then they just sit there hungry forever. But no, they don't. They don't fight. There's nothing like that. It'd be neat if they fought.
So,
but
no. I do have a quick question. So, say they're in the same pin together. Do they mate?
They eat each other's poop, and then they morph into the same being.
You had a lot of enthusiasm behind that right there.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, you need to lay off on the whole poop thing. Just call it a plort. It makes it sound better.
I could call it a plort, but then people listening might not know. I could have said plort at the beginning instead of poop, and then, yeah, we could have done that.
This is Does the game call it a plort?
It's a plort.
Or poop?
It's a plort, yeah. Or you could call it an excretion. You could call it a lot of things. You didn't have to call it that.
I mean, manure.
But we have to be able to relate to our audience, you know? So, you know, everyone understands poop. Yeah. Everybody poops.
Wow.
That is true.
I don't know. I feel are you trying to say that our audience is just a bunch of knuckle draggers and that's the only way they're going to understand it? I see. I choose to think that our listeners actually have a vocabulary.
Okay, yeah, you're right. We can use better vocabulary to express the same thing. So, Cody,
acronyms.
What are some
for poop?
What are some exactly? So, when it comes to the bowel movement of the slime,
very very highbrow. I like it. See, I feel like we need to start having like a word of the podcast. You know, we're trying to improve people's vocabulary each
poop.
Time. Wow.
So when you like, are there any special ones that you've seen, certain combinations that you particularly like or that are interesting?
I don't combine them because they get too hectic. So I have,
Just be honest. You feel like the slime shouldn't mix because that's weird. That's what it is. Really, Cody, just tell it how it is.
I can't, West Virginia. I can fit 20 normal slimes in one tiny pin, or I can fit 3 big slimes in one pin, but I get more plorts out of the 20 individuals than I do out of the 3 big ones because they just fill up too much space or they jump out and all that stuff. And if they escape, good God, they'll eat all your food and all your chickens, and it's no fun.
There's chickens?
There are chickens because
some of the slimes, it's awful.
Yeah,
this game just
some of the slimes eat chickens.
Yes, wow,
there are carnivore slimes.
Wow. All right, so on the real dude scale, what would you rate this?
I don't know. I've been quite distant from alcohol
suggestion.
For.
Well,
so I don't really
Jello
know
shot.
What to name it on the real dude scale. So
I just feel like that's perfect. Come on,
that's really good.
That's actually perfect.
So we'll go with that Jello shot.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay.
I like that.
Sorry, Cody. It was too perfect.
All right.
It's colorful. It's straight to the point at the same time.
Oh, gosh.
It's wow.
And it makes you plort. So, from one farming game to the next, we have Stardew Valley on the Switch.
The Switch version, yes, sir.
Which, this game is a phenomenon. Like, it's huge, I guess you could say. It's successful.
Yes, you could call it successful if you want to call a game that sells millions of copies successful, you know, no big deal.
That is, I would say it's successful. Carrington, what do you think of it?
All right, so I just want to put it out there. I own this game on the PC. I also bought it on the Switch for the portability aspect, as one would when a multi-platform game comes out on the Switch. So there are, it's essentially the same game. There's very few differences. I think the game itself looks a little bit smoother and brighter on the PC, even though it's, you know, I feel
PC
like
PC Master Race.
No, I'm just saying, like, I just found it interesting because the colors popped more on the PC for some reason. And I tried playing around with a few of the settings. I'm like, well, why is this? It's not like it's a, you know, graphic intensive game or something, but I don't know. It does look a lot better handheld though than it does on the big screen on the Switch, so I think that's a reason. I don't think it scales right or something, or however you want to put it, but essentially it's the same game. Going back through it, like having to start over on the Switch version, I forgot how tedious the beginning game is because you can't do much for a while. And then once you start getting into it, get a schedule going, it's like, oh, yeah, this is why I have fun doing the same thing over and over again. It's so weird to think that. But if you really like the farming like Harvest Moon or Rune Factory type games, this is definitely the game for you and will definitely scratch that itch.
Nice.
I will say, using a controller fixes some of the like keyboard and mouse controls, in my opinion, that the PC version has. and some of the UI issues the PC version had, using, you know, the Joy-Cons or the Switch Pro controller, just feels more comfortable and it feels more right to use and do. I don't know what else to really say about Stardew Valley. Unless you want me to go like really in depth about the game itself. That's up to you, because they're the same game essentially.
Right. Would you say the port itself is successful?
Yes, hands down. And, if you're going to get a version, whether it be the Xbox One, PS4, PC, Switch, I would highly recommend the Switch, because you can take it on the go. You're not held down to being at home. And I think that's the whole thing about the Switch. Because when a game is released on the Switch and you can get it on other platforms, it's just like, well, I could get it on Xbox or PC or PS4, but if I leave my house, I can play it on my Switch. And I think that's just a fantastic thing that the Switch has going for it. And it plays it very well.
Awesome.
And it's the reason why I'm also going to get other games that are coming out on the Switch that have either been released in the past that I've already bought or that are about to come out and are available on other platforms. That be able to take it on the go will win every time.
Yeah. So, like with Golf Story just releasing, and then Stardew Valley still kicking strong, do you think that we're going to see an uprise of modern pixel art games within like this generation of gaming?
Oh yeah, I think so. I think that for people like us on the show, it scratches a certain maybe nostalgia factor that we tend to like, and they're also like Golf Story and Stardew Valley. Even though basically the idea itself might be new, but it's just basically a different skin and repackaged, it's done well, and there's enough of it that's original that will keep us entertained. And at the same time, for people who maybe didn't grow up with this kind of game, they can still enjoy it and not feel like a lot of the jokes and the nostalgia factor will go over their heads per se. And they can still enjoy it just as it is. So I feel like it's, for us, it's a throwback. But for people who have not grown up with it, it's more of a, introducing them and trying to get them interested in games either that they wouldn't normally be able to get to play.
Okay. So this is kind of just a general question for everyone. Do you think that... I don't know how to really say this. With me personally and diving into indie games and finding these games that are really good, do you think that people prefer these games over your standard AAA games? Like, do you think that your standard AAA games are just becoming so repetitive and people are starting to lose interest in that?
Boom.
It's a big question. Do you take a minute to think about it?
What? Now, one more time, restate it.
Okay, so me personally... there are some AAA games that I still keep an eye on, but I feel like a lot of them have become so repetitive in their constant yearly releases that my interest has dropped. So do you think games like Golf Story or Stardew Valley, do you think that people would prefer these games over your standard AAA game, your Forza, your Assassin's Creed and stuff? Because it's new ideas, I guess is where I'm getting at with it.
Is it though? I feel like I said, it's pretty much just a retread like everything else. I mean,
okay. Yeah.
To me, it's all about finding your niche. It's with anything. I mean, any business, we're all trying to find our niche in life even. Mm-hmm. I mean, just know your role and what works for you. And, sometimes you're in the mood for something with lots of polish and, maybe a little more, engrossing, I guess I would say. I mean, I feel like a good AAA title, it really pulls you in. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of these games, I think they tend to be a little more passive, you're a little less deeply connected, I guess I would say, to me. And once again, they're usually more of a time waster or just something to take your mind off of everything, which I guess all games are that to a certain extent, of course. But No, I don't really see it challenging AAA. It's just, they all have their own lane, so to speak. And like Carrington said, maybe... certain nice aspect of it is that it's, for some people that, Harvest Moon might be a little before their time. It kind of might be their, Harvest Moon. I really hadn't considered that until he said that, but I'm like, you know what? There probably are people that'll listen to this and be like, what are you talking about, Harvest Moon? Be like, yeah. Stardew Valley is yeah. all there is.
Yeah.
But so yeah, I mean, I think it, it's, you know, whatever your preference is or whatever your preference is at the time, because I know my moods on what kind of games I like to play shifts and changes from time to time.
I think for me, I think something like Minecraft helped kind of bring out a lot of these games that we're seeing now, whether it be 8-bit, 16-bit, having that older style or blocky style even. And I think that helped a lot of... I think it helped the industry see that graphics aren't everything, even though there are certain people that have said it for years. And I think Minecraft proved that graphics really aren't everything, as long as you have solid gameplay, or if you maybe don't have much gameplay going, if you have a solid story behind it, then your game can still be successful without it having to be backed by millions and millions of dollars. Now, I think on the other hand, Andrew is right that each one, whether it be AAA or indie, they both have their own lane, so to speak. I don't think indie titles are going to take over AAA titles necessarily, but AAA titles have the marketing that indie titles do not have. So yeah. Something like for example, Star Wars Battlefront is about to drop here in about a month. It's a good or bad game, it's still going to sell millions of copies. You could have the greatest indie title sitting in your lap right now, it probably will not sell a million copies just because of marketing and brand naming alone.
Yeah.
I'll kind of rephrase that. Nice kind of a repose your question, Kyle, because I think the real question is not would indie games replace AAA, is rather, are we seeing the death essentially of the middle class in gaming? Because that's mm-hmm. really my question. I mean, you see it, I believe you're seeing it in modern cinema. It's basically your summer blockbusters and a lot of movies that don't have a big budget at all, and a kind of not quite indie movies, but approaching that. And I think, and you might wonder if it's, you know, that trend kind of started first with the movies. I wonder if the gaming is going to follow. It's basically the haves and the have-nots, and there's just the, you know, the developers aren't just willing to throw money at something that is kind of a, you know, expected to just be a, you know, a mid-level game. It's going to be either everything and we're going to put all of our resources behind it, or we're going to give you just a shoestring and see what you can do.
Yeah, that's actually a really nice way of putting it. I guess where I was getting with it, and that does make sense, like the middle class, you know, kind of getting the boot right now. The way that I was looking at it is, you know, what was Golf Story? $15, I think.
Yeah, like 15 or 20 bucks. And Stardew Valley's like 15, 20 bucks also.
Same thing. So recently, because with the Switch, I have Zelda and Golf Story. By now, I'm pretty sure I put way more hours into Golf Story than I have Zelda, which might, you know, some people might frown upon, but for some reason, that game has just got me hooked right now. And I kind of feel better because, you know, I only spent $15 on it, as opposed to with Zelda, I spent $60 on it. Although Zelda is, honestly, I think, you know, is game of the year right now, still. It's just that, just paying that $15 and getting a game that's polished. I think I only had one bug so far out of the 20 plus hours I played in Golf Story. It's just that, to me, as a consumer of video games, that is more appealing than, you know, spending something like $60 on a AAA game, because there's probably only a handful of AAA games each year that I truly feel like my $60 was spent well.
I think it'd be partly the cost is certainly plays a factor in your, you know, desire to have a game, whether it be, you know, indie versus AAA. I can see the money, but I think just knowing a little bit about your situation, Kyle, not that I know you really well, but I think it applies to I know my situation to a point. Is that it's time. Like, it's easy. Yeah. To me, a game like Golf Story, which I have played and enjoy and still, you know, plan on continuing to play. But, and I also have Breath of the Wild, and I have not even touched it legitimately since I bought it. And I got it like as soon as the Switch came out. So yeah. That tells you what my life's at right now. Yeah. I think it's time. I mean, like, a lot of those indie games, they're not as, like I said, they're not as engrossing. They're not, I don't feel like they pull you in quite as deep usually. There are some exceptions. Mm-hmm. And so it's cool to just be like, you know what? I have 20 minutes. I'm going to pick this game up and play. Whereas I feel like for me, when I get into a really good AAA title that, you know, they'd pulled out all the stops for, it's like, I am going to barricade myself in this, either my room or my living room for the next 6 to 8 hours. If anyone speaks to me, someone better be dying. And so I think that's, for me, it's really hard to pull myself away from a great AAA title. I can easily spend all day and like not even realize how much time has passed. And I just do not have that time to sacrifice very often anymore.
I have to wholeheartedly agree with that, because when it comes to like a AAA title, if I don't have, I've tried with Zelda, we'll use that as an example since everyone else has used it. I have tried to spend just 20 to 30 minutes on Zelda. But once I get to that 20 to 30 minute mark, I feel like I have not yet spent enough time, and I have to just keep going from there. I have to at least spend at least, you know, 3-4 hours before I can be like, okay, I'm at a point where I can feel like I can stop. But something like Stardew Valley, I can play, like today I played it for about 3 to 4 hours, or I can play it for 10 to 15 minutes and I really don't care.
Yeah, that's actually, that's well put, guys. That's, it's kind of where I was trying to go with that. So, Carrington.
Yes.
I know that I think it was Caleb, rest in peace. I think he was the one that discussed Stardew Valley originally.
Yes, yes, he did.
Maybe a year ago or so.
Yep.
Do you have something similar? Do you have a rating in mind for this?
If I were to give it a rating, what's a drink that's fun? Yeah, I've already given a game this already, so I'm going to give Stardew Valley the same. I'm going to give it an old-fashioned.
Okay.
They're nice. I love old-fashions. It's a drink that's been around for a while, but every time I go to a place, it's refreshing because they have their own take on it and stuff like that. And Stardew Valley, it's, like we've said before, it's basically Harvest Moon or Rune Factory repackaged, which isn't a bad thing at all because those games are fantastic, and we haven't seen those in, gosh, we haven't seen them in years. So Stardew Valley is a need in the market right now.
I think that is appropriate. Yeah, that's really good. So before we get on further with the show, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
Hey everyone, Carrington here to tell you about our newest affiliate that is now a part of the RDP family. Please welcome Turtle Beach. Turtle Beach has some of the greatest and latest gaming headsets, no matter what kind of gamer you are. And having a Turtle Beach gaming headset in your arsenal gives you the competitive advantage that you need. I have a Turtle Beach Stealth X04 right now, and it is fantastic. I would highly recommend it. So you can head on over to realdudespodcast.com/Turtle Beach, and you can get some great deals as well as being able to support the show as well. That's realdudespodcast.com/Turtle Beach, and you can head on over there right now. Right now. Go. What are you doing here? Bye.
Hey guys, we also wanted to let all of our fans know that we have started a Real Dudes Podcast Discord. Friendly place for fans of the show or just fans of gaming in general can come to talk about the latest news and goings-on in the gaming world. If you want to join that, hit us up on Twitter. We can get you an instant invite, and we'd be happy to grow our community there, talk with you guys, and hang out.
We here at Real Dudes want to give a huge shout out to Guitaro Man for letting us use his music on this episode. You can find more of his music on SoundCloud, and be sure to give him a follow on Twitter at IamGuitaroMan. That is GitaroMan. Thanks, and let's get back to this episode.
All right, welcome back. Real briefly with indie gaming news, there's a couple games that I've had my eye on. We'll start with All Our Asias. It's an interesting title. It was developed by Sean Hantani. Basically, the premise of this game is you play the role of a son who is able to enter the mind of a dying father. The son relives memories, secrets, and experiences. Although his father is, you know, on life support, he is able to access these memories. To me, it seems like an emotional game. I'm excited to see more on it, and it's supposed to release on Steam from what I saw, but we don't have a date yet. Following that is another one that is going to be released on Steam and PS4. Actually, it's already released this month, called Hob, which was created by Runic Games. They're known for Torchlight and Torchlight 2. It's another puzzle game. The scenery looks great, and it seems to be on another planet that you're on. From what I saw, the goal of this game is you're supposed to repair this planet that's crumbling. And if I had to compare it to any other game, it would remind me of a mashup between Rime and Grow Up. So definitely sparks my interest. Unfortunately, I don't have a PS4, so maybe one day I'll pick it up on Steam. There's combat in the game, which also presents a challenge. But yeah, it's on PS4, Steam, and you should be able to pick that up today. That is Hob. And then lastly, I think all of us are excited for this. The Flame and the Flood has been released on the Switch.
Oh, yeah.
I have not picked this up yet, but I will. Definitely excited to take that on the go with me. So yeah, that's Flame in the Flood. It is now available on the Switch. I think it's $14.99, which is such a steal for the game. I mean, the game is, I don't know, it's so good.
It is really good. And it's another reason, or it's another example. I own it just like you do, Kyle, on Xbox One. We'll probably pick it up on the Switch just for the portability factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, that's, Hob and, oh shoot.
All Our Asians, Flame in the Flood.
Yeah. Okay. All Our Asians, Flame in the Flood, yeah. Definitely check out the trailer, or the gameplay trailer of Hob and All Our Asians on YouTube. That's where I checked that out. And then, Carrington, you had a couple things you want to talk about?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, here is how big the Nintendo Switch is getting and how crazy people are going for it. Sony themselves will be publishing a game on the Switch. Just let that sink in for a little bit. It is called Tiny Metal. It is an Advanced Wars style type game. So for you Advanced Wars fans out there, here is a game out there that it will probably fill that itch. Advanced Wars, by the way, was a turn-based strategy game. Fantastic game that Nintendo made, and they pretty much killed the series, but it's just another series that Nintendo has. Sadly, we'll probably never make another. But anyway, Sony is actually publishing this game, and it has a Switch release, a PS4 release, and a PC release.
Nice.
So, but there is no release date at the moment, so keep your eye out for it. The trailer for it is out on YouTube. Check it out. It looks fantastic. Last but not least, there is a game in one of the Facebook communities, Kyle, that you and I are part of those indie groups. I've been talking to a guy who has been making a game called Crazy Justice. Crazy Justice is basically another Fortnite Players Unknown Battleground type game. It's a battle royale type game. Mm-hmm. But there's like a little small twist end to it. So just watch the trailer for anyone out there. Go check it out. It's on Fig right now, which is a different version of Kickstarter. It is almost reached its goal, and there is, as of this recording, 2 days left. So if you want to go and support it, it's out there. It's called Crazy Justice. I'd highly recommend it. It'll be available on all platforms, so PC, Xbox One, PS4, and Nintendo Switch. It'll also be available on the various PC platforms such as Windows, Linux, and Mac. So it's an indie developer, so they're going all out on this thing. And it will have cross-platform abilities between PC, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. Unfortunately, PS4 is left out because they do not know what is a good thing when they see.
That's nicely
put. I'll try to ignore that.
Did anyone get to play the Battlefront 2 beta?
Oh, yeah. Anybody else?
Did I play the beta? Is that even a question?
Did you play the beta?
I did not.
Yes, I totally played the beta.
Nice.
It was amazing.
Andrew, is there a reason why
Star
you
Wars,
did
not?
It's
harvest season. Because
it's harvest season and yes. I'm dead inside
right,
right now.
Right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, plus, so...
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I'll be honest. I'm just not into alphas and betas and all that other stuff. Like, I can wait for the finished product myself. So it's one I probably wouldn't have anyway, but Harvest basically guarantees that I won't.
I thought that was going to go. I'm not a big fan of Star Wars. And at that
don't
point,
play at all.
He would not be my brother-in-law if he was not a fan of Star Wars.
I divorce you. Like, you can't even legally do that. I'll figure it out.
Exactly.
No, I'm a huge Star Wars fanatic, and anybody who knows me would attest to that. So no danger here. No. Cool. Friend or foe. All
right.
Yes, I'm a friend.
For those of you that did play, what were your impressions of it?
So right off the bat,
way better than the first.
Oh yes, that's exactly where I was going. Cody, how about you give your impressions first?
Where do I start?
I know, right?
I don't know. I'm looking forward the most to a Star Wars campaign again. Just like the first one didn't have one, and we were all looking forward to it, and it never came, and it sucked. But in the beta, we got to play only PvP multiplayer, which included an objective-based game mode of how many people were in that lobby? Do you know? Is two teams of 12
or 20? It was either 12 or 16. I can't remember.
I just want to say it was 16.
Okay. An objective game mode with a lot of people.
Yes.
And you played as... the droids or the clones of the prequels, and you play on Naboo, and it was just like a super cool multi-stepped battle, which you don't see often. A lot of it's like do this, like capture a point or plant a bomb, and that's it, and then the game mode's over. But this one incorporated multiple aspects into one, which was great, and I really hope that carries on into the other game modes that they have. Another game mode was Space Battle, which from some people I've talked to, they didn't play at all.
Yeah.
And to me, it was one of the more exciting aspects, because I've always been into the dogfighting Air Force games type that, Tom Clancy's and stuff like that. Those are always super cool. And then the other one was another objective playlist, but it was a smaller lobby of like 8 people on each team. But just to give a brief rundown of what was in the beta for those people who didn't play it or have harvest season. I really enjoyed it. How about you, Carrington?
So I'm going to do some quick news I briefly skipped over, and it is Star Wars related. So Visceral Studios, that is supposed to make the Uncharted-like Star Wars game, they're being shut down. So no more that game. So I am even more looking forward to the campaign mode and what EA has in store for us for Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
I was a little upset that we didn't get to even see a snippet of a level or anything like that, because I am really...
You could watch a preview.
Yeah, it had John Boyega in it, didn't it?
Yeah,
there was a preview of the campaign.
It's not the same though. I want to play it. I want to play
it. I know.
It.
Yeah.
I hope he narrates the whole thing though.
That would be music to my ears.
Well,
but I did play an earlier version, and as well as the beta. It has certainly improved over time, which is fantastic. One thing I did not realize, because I thought the first Battlefront, say what you want about it, whether you loved it or you hated it, it was a gorgeous game, that first Battlefront. Battlefront 2 looks even better. So I don't know what voodoo EA has going on in the background, but there's a lot more particle effects and things like that going on, which I think is fantastic. I think the flying is a lot better and smoother than Battlefront 1. And the... the dogfighting and Battlefront 2, I could see myself playing that because I felt like I was in the movies straight up. Because there is the one part like at the beginning where the Y-Wings have to go in towards the thing and take out the shield generator for the station. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was like in a movie or something trying to go in, and then with the Y-Wing just trying to stay steady, and there's TIE fighters behind me and X-Wings are trying to come in and defend you and everything. Like, I'm like, I am in the movies right now. This is cool. that's a dream, you know? That's what I felt like when I played Rogue Squadron and X-Wing versus TIE Fighter and X-Wing and all that other stuff. That's just, I miss that feeling. And I'm hoping that there are a lot more levels than just that when it comes to the space battles. But yeah, that's my take on it. I loved it. I can't wait for more. It teased me, and I went ahead and pre-ordered it because the beta convinced me.
Shame on you.
I had to. I know I had to. I'm sorry.
After that discussion you guys had last week or whatever.
Yeah, we did.
Your pre-order banter. We understand.
I'm right. Okay. You are 100% correct,
but it does. But it makes it easier.
How?
I can pre-order the game, or I can, and it'll download ahead of time for me to be able to play it on release date, or I have to remember at work to buy it and download it, and then make sure I have the money in my account at that moment in time. Exactly. I can just do it ahead of time, and I don't have to worry about it. They're going to get the money for it anyway. It doesn't matter.
It does totally matter.
They get it. Yeah, they get it ahead of time, and they can put it towards something else, and they can be lazy if they want to, but they still have a release date for the game. I'm not pre-ordering it while it's still in, like, prospect of, we think we're going to make this game at some point in time. And it's like, here, November 16th, we're releasing the game, pre-order. It's going to release it no matter what on that date.
The only reason to pre-order is if there's a legitimately limited run of something and you might not get a copy. But if it's a game that they're going to just keep rattling them off one way or the other, there's no reason. I'm sorry. There's just not. Like, and especially even if it doesn't ruin that particular game, you know, even if that developer has integrity, it still fosters a behavior and an attitude that does not go in a positive direction as consumers.
Do you guys know what game turned me off from pre-orders?
What's that?
Star Halo Wars
5?
Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I could see that.
I don't feel that game when release was worth $60.
Oh gosh, no, that was like me and a guy at work, we talk about all the time. That was a $20 game.
Yeah.
Not a $60 game.
No, I think you're completely right with the fact, you know, that game, it's beautiful and it sounds great. But for me personally, that's all it had going for it when it released. I sat down and played for about a week and that was it. And I hadn't touched it maybe for like 6 months down the road or so when they threw updates to it.
Yeah, I think I was in the same boat and I was expecting that game to be amazing. So I went ahead and pre-ordered it on PC and Xbox One. And when I got the game they gave us, I was like, oh gosh, what have I done? And then I didn't touch it again. Until they threw in custom matches, and I had the most fun I've had with that game ever.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I thought the beta was fun. I enjoyed it. I played maybe an hour of it because I had to work all weekend, but from what I played, I did enjoy it. I'm still reluctant to pre-order it. I might even Redbox it.
Ooh.
I might even Redbox it for a weekend and see how I like it.
So, quick question for everybody here, since we're on Star Wars. What did you guys think of that trailer?
Oh, boy. I need a drink here.
No comment. At the moment.
I tried my hardest to stop
watching. Okay, hold on. Pause. Should we talk about it? Because I know a couple of my friends, some who listen to this podcast, are trying to go in blind for the movie.
Oh.
Jar Jar Binks is Snoke.
Confirmed. He's confirmed.
Yeah. Wow. So in respects to those people and whoever other listeners who want to go in blind, I will refrain from commenting on the Star Wars.
How's this?
Just give a vague answer.
Yeah. Did you like it or did you not like it? The trailer.
It was deceiving.
Okay.
I think I
know what you mean.
And that's as far as I'll go.
Does it get you hyped? How's that? Does it get you hyped? Okay.
Yes.
Kyle?
Actually, what's your thoughts on it?
Me?
Yeah.
It got me hyped without going into details, but I also agree with Cody that it was deceiving.
Andrew?
I'm like I said, I'm a sucker for Star Wars stuff, so I mean, pretty much anything they churn out, I'm going to be a fan of. I think, I guess all I'll say is that you can definitely tell that this has taken a darker turn in some ways, I feel like. And so please, all I ask is, like, let's have thought this not, even though Force Awakens was a solid installment, it was the more and more I think about that one, it was basically a retread of episode 4. Like, and there's a point where it's like, on some levels, it's like you like the nostalgia and the throwback to the original because it has mm-hmm. been a while. But when I first saw it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's so cool. They referenced all this stuff. And then like I look back, I'm like, no, they just remade the same movie. It's like, so don't make this one just like in a lot of ways reminiscent of Empire Strikes Back. That's all I ask. Yeah. That's all I ask. And then as far as where it's headed as the trilogy, I'm not going to comment too much, but there's a YouTube video. I don't even remember what it's called, so you don't have to worry about me spoiling something for everybody. But this gentleman gave his thoughts on where the trilogy is going to go as a whole, and I wholeheartedly agree. And I feel like you've seen whispers of what he basically describes in the video as to where this trilogy is going to head the universe, the Star Wars universe. It's really obvious, honestly. Maybe he's wrong, but I doubt it, because like I said, they've been leaving a lot of breadcrumbs. If you watch, especially if you talk about like Rebels and Clone Wars and stuff like that, and just kind of following it.
Does it still make you a fan in the direction that you feel like it's going, though?
Yeah, actually, I think the way they're taking it is more real, which I'm a fan of that kind of thing. Anytime a show makes, you know, tries to keep it real, keep it realistic. Sometimes, you know, when they do, the characters or, you know, factions within a universe will do just nonsensical things just for the sake of the plot or the story. I usually don't care for that. So I think where I think it's going to head ultimately is a positive thing, and more appropriate for the day and age that we live in and how people view things, I believe, on a whole. But anyway.
So I'm gonna before we close out the show, I'm gonna leave on this note. I'm gonna be the peer pressure to all of Cody's friends right now. If you have not watched this trailer, what are you doing with your life? Stop. Actually, don't stop. Just finish this, the rest of this episode, and then watch it. Just watch it. That's just all I have to say.
It will be okay.
It'll be okay.
Exactly.
Or don't watch it and go in blind and ignore Kyle's.
No.
I have to say,
like most of us did.
Of the new characters, Kylo Ren was my favorite in Force Awakens, and he will, I believe, continue to be my favorite going forward. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. And in all seriousness, more power to you if you do avoid the trailer. I lasted like 45 minutes and then broke down and watched it. So if you are able to not watch it till the movie comes out,
okay,
more power to you.
Real quick. Kind of still within Star Wars, but shifting to Carrington's comment. Your favorite, really?
Of the new characters? Yeah.
Of new characters, okay.
More than the
Force? I feel like Adam Driver does a really good job of what Hayden Christensen was supposed to do in the prequels.
Not a very tough act to follow, but okay. That's when the bar's that low, you can kind of just hop over it without much of a running start. That's really not, and you don't even need a pole or anything to vault over it.
But you do know, agree, though. You do agree.
In what?
That he does a better job of the type of character Hayden Christensen was supposed to play. That very emotional and struggling with his inner demons kind of person.
I could do a better job on that cold, and I've never had an acting lesson in my life.
I want to see it, though.
Yes. That'll be our next vlog.
Wow.
We'll do a Let's Play of the Movies and hope
I would do at least as well. At least as well, okay? I mean, basically, you know. But no, it's... I guess... I think we've all probably seen the SNL skit with Adam Driver shortly after Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I feel like the, shall we just call him the fat stormtrooper's description of what Kylo Ren is probably the most accurate. Remember that? Kylo Ren is a punk. Like, I bet he weighs 30 pounds soaking wet in that black dress. I mean, come on. It's like he got whooped by a girl who literally didn't even know what a lightsaber was like 3 days earlier.
True, true. But I'm talking about just the character, like the as an actor and how the direction I see him going. And then I feel like Adam Driver just does a really good job with it.
No, go ahead.
I feel like all the focus is on Daisy Ridley as Rey, who is fantastic, don't get me wrong, and John Boyega as Finn, who's also fantastic. We haven't gotten enough of Captain Phasma to really say anything about her. And then, I mean, there's a few like smaller characters that are in the series that have been introduced and will be introduced. But I just love Adam Driver as Kylo Ren. I think he just does a really good job.
No, I like Adam Driver. I think he's actually a really good actor. I saw him in that Logan Lucky movie that came out, and he did a really good job. No, I mean, playing his character, yeah, I think he's a fine actor. But I guess if you're looking at just from that standpoint, I can wholeheartedly agree that he's, you know, been a good choice and a far cry better than Hayden Christensen, putting, like I said, that kind of role, you know, in a good light and doing it well. But I don't know that he's the most interesting character, in my opinion, especially because, and I will drop it because I know we're running close on time, but the one thing that really throws me about his character in the first in Force Awakens is like in the opening scene, where he come, you know, they come in and they attack the village and he legit, you know, Poe shoots his blaster rifle at him and he just like holds it there the entire time that they're having this conversation like it ain't no thing, and you set up to be like, oh my gosh, this guy is so hardcore, he's so tough, like, you know, super powerful Sith or whatever. And then, like I said, I think as the story progresses, I viewed him as less intimidating and less powerful. And I don't know if that was a good thing or if that was intended, but I always found that odd.
I do have a rebuttal for that, but I'm going to save it for our Star Wars episode. Heyo, teaser!
Ooh, all right.
So real quick before we close out, next big episode we do in 2 weeks, we are going to be talking about two games.
Mm-hmm. We decided earlier.
Yep.
The Turing test. Yes, that's it. And yes. The other one being, I have to go look it up. So,
Hat in Time.
There we go. Yeah. Thank you, Andrew.
So, Hat in Time and the Turing Test. Also, thanks to our good friend Carrington, we all have Real Dudes emails. So, if you have any questions for the show or you want or any suggestions or whatever hoopla you have, you can email us now at podcast@realdudespodcast.com.
Or if you have questions for us individually.
Send all your hate mail. Yeah. And all your Star Wars opinions. Yes.
You can go to our contact page on our website, realdudespodcast.com/contact, and you can find all of our emails if you want to contact us individually and want to speak with us or send hate mail towards Andrew because
I figure I don't know. I don't plan on this being the case, but I just feel like if we all had a set role, I'm totally the heel and I don't even want to be. I just am. I feel like,
and I hate saying this because he's still around, just don't know where Jake is. I feel like he was the heel, but I feel like
that's why I feel like him and Jake would get along if Jake ever decides to come back. We miss you, man.
I've been doing Let's Plays lately on Mixer, mixer.com/realdudespod. You can catch the first episode of What Remains of Edith Finch.
Thanks. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I totally remember when we had an episode.
Oh, that's amazing.
The entire time.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I have both episodes. One's in post production. The first episode's done. You can check it out on YouTube on our page, Real Dudes Podcast. It's about an hour long. I plan on doing more games. I might do the Turing Test as we play through it over the next couple weeks. And then awesome news, Podbean had featured us on their website. So if you don't listen on iTunes or Google Play, check us out on Podbean. Make sure you subscribe to us, leave us comments, and share our podcast with your friends. And that's it for me, other than our social media. Do you guys have anything else you want to put in before I plug this?
I just want to say a huge thank you to Podbean for featuring us. It's been a huge help to us, and we love doing business with them. So, you know, I highly recommend Podbean as an app and as well as a way to listen to us. I know iTunes and there are many other platforms out there, but I really like Podbean and what they're trying to do. And we went with them for a reason. So just a huge thank you to Podbean for featuring us. It's been a huge help to us. So if you're new to us, welcome. And we hope you enjoy the show.
Yeah. Oh, and if you are planning to, you know, start a podcast down the road and you want to use Podbean, make sure you check out our affiliates page and click on that Podbean link, and yeah, you'll definitely want to do that. Social media, make sure to follow us on Twitter, realdudes_pod, Facebook, Real Dudes Podcast, Instagram, Real Dudes Podcast, and then YouTube, Real Dudes Podcast, and then of course our website, www.realdudespodcast. If you want to support the show, we do have a Patreon set up, and that is on the website as well. Other than that, that's all I have to say. Everyone, have a rad day.
Have fun.
Stay classy.
Bye.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.